Okay, good. And I begin the sharing again. So we're sharing. Okay, good. So let's go. So 8, we said about the vision. What do you truly want? Why are we here? And so on and so forth. Then step number 9. Step number 9 is you summarize again. Okay, let me see if I got this straight. This is your situation now. This is the problems that you're experiencing right now. These are the reasons why you want to change. And this is the vision that we're creating. This is what you want to see happening. And again, you summarize with their own words in terms of their time, their money, and their reputation. Okay? Step 10. Step 10 is making them aware of the consequences that they will experience if they don't change anything. So if you keep doing what you are doing and have been doing until this point, what do you think that will happen in the next 2 years? Do you think things are going to be the same? Do you think that things are going to be worse? Do you think that things are going to be better? Most people, because you're dealing with, you know, not very sophisticated people, most people are going to say, well, things are going to be the same. And this is where you really need to give them a reality check. So let me understand this. You've told me that you are experiencing this issue and that issue and the other issue. And you think that if you do nothing, 2 years from now, your life is going to be exactly the same? Because for what you told me, little John, that right now is 16, it's going to be 18, and he's going to go to college. And little Mary, who right now is 23 or 22, she's going to be 24, and she's going to be out of college, and she'll be starting her life. And this and that and the other. And again, you walk them through how is that life is going to be, in most cases, worse. Unfortunately, most people who don't take the time to think through the situations that they're experiencing, they think that if they do nothing, things are going to stay the same. But things don't stay the same because the rest of the world keeps moving forward. The rest of things keep, going after their dreams, people doing a lot of things, and they stay behind. And things that are already not working get worse. They don't get better. In our experience, most people are going to be able to recognize this, but you need to really have this conversation with them and drill down with them. I forgot to comment. These are the consequences of them not taking action. So if you don't take action 2 years from now or 6 months from now, you're going to have less money because from all your savings, you need to start using some of that money to survive, to do this, to do that. So we're going to start doing this with less money. You're going to be 6 months older, which might not be a huge thing, but if you don't do it right now and you let 2 or 3 years pass, now you're 3 years of your life wasted. Your kids are going to do this and your husband is going to do that. And why would you wait? You're not talking down at them. You're not manipulating them. You're just having a very honest conversation. Step 11, I told you we were going to summarize several times. You need to summarize again. Okay, so let me see if I got this straight. You're 40 years old. You feel frustrated and confused and scared because you don't know how you're going to pay for your kids' college tuition, or you don't know where you're going to get new clients from, or you cannot, take care of your parents, and you have absolutely no free time in your life, and you want to double roll your revenues, but you don't know how to do it. And maybe you feel impotent, or maybe you feel frustrated because you're not able to make that big difference that you want to make in the world. And that makes you feel bad because you saw yourself as the kind of person that could really make a difference for people. and you realize that if your business isn't profitable, if you don't turn this situation around, you really cannot help the people that you wanted to help. Now, if we had a magic wand and we changed this and changed that, and we had a magic button, 6 months from now, 18 months from now, whatever appropriate timetable is for you in your business, you would really could be earning this amount of money or living this kind of life or having 20% more profits or taking 2 consecutive days, weeks off from your own business and have a real vacation where you don't have to be in the beach checking the email, you know, or some members, when they joined us, one of the things that they say is that they joined us because when they had their first children, they were in the recovery room for maternity doing emergency calls with their clients. So that you don't want that. Is that correct? And you clarify with them again, you repeat your words back to them and you help them understand how is that they would feel if that situation happened. Oh, sorry. Step 12. You help them take personal responsibility. So why do you think that your business is where it is today? How is that you have not implemented the things that you know you had to implement so this business could really work out? How is that you have not hired staff? Or how is that you don't have a business plan? Or how is that you have not delegated the legal work and you're trying to do all on your own and you're failing to bring in new clients? How is that you and your way of operating is creating the situation that you're in right now? And how is that preventing you from the extra money you want, from the extra time that you want with your family, from building a bigger family, a bigger business that is gonna make you be more well-known in the community and so on and so forth. Most of the times, what people are gonna tell you is that they just didn't know. They just didn't know what they didn't know, you know? And that's a very real situation. So you say, okay, no problem, but now you're here. You didn't, let's just take personal responsibility. You didn't do it because you didn't know. But now you're here and you do know. So would you like to get some help to get to do things better? They're either gonna say, no, I don't. In which case your appointment is pretty much over. The only thing that I would say at that point is, well, if you don't want any help, why did you even come in here today? And they're gonna tell you the disconnect. You say, you know, after talking to you, I realized that I am not really ready to do that. So what I'm telling you that I want, I really don't want. And if you truly care about this person, I would take them back to, well, but you told me that you really wanted this because this and that and that. So 5 minutes ago, you really wanted it, but now you don't. What changed? But that is if you really care a lot about that person. If not, you let them know, you let them go, you know, wish them well, and that's it. But if they say, yes, I do want some help, then what you do next is that you propose some options. So that's step 3, 13. 14 is you propose some options. So you always wanna give them the option of doing nothing. Okay, say one option is do nothing. Now, I would always recommend that you do tell them there's always an option to do nothing, right? The problem is that if you are going to do nothing, these are going to be the consequences of you doing nothing. These are the problems that are going to go into. This is what happened with your time, with your money, with your reputation, with your relationships, is if you do nothing. But that's an option. Is that an option that you would like to take? 99% of the time, they're going to say, no, that's not an option. That's why I'm here. Okay. Second option is do it yourself. Listen, you seem like in some of these cases for you guys might be applicable. You know, you can file your immigration form on your own. You can spend, you know, 24, 36 studying hours online to figure out how to do this on your own and pray that you do it well, but you know, certainly maybe you could do it on your own. You might run into a bunch of problems and you might screw up this whole process, but you could try it on your own. So if you were working with me for how to manage, I would say, you don't have to hire me. You can definitely go take different courses, you know, read different books, and you're gonna get the gist of the how to build a marketing plan and how to do this and how to do that. Now, you're gonna run into a bunch of problems. You're gonna hire the wrong people. There's a bunch of the problems that we could solve with you and we could prevent for you that you don't even know that exist. So when you run into them, that is gonna considerably set you back from your growth, but you could do this on your own. And is that what you want? And in most cases, they're gonna say, no, that is not what I want. Okay, third option is that you can hire us so you can help. We can do it with you and for you. And here is where you want to present a minimum of two options, or ideally three, and say, listen, let me just tell you about how to manage, right? You're working with us, you could go into the $1 million club. The $1 million club is $100,000 a year, and it includes this and this and this. It's $9,000 a month, and such and such and such and such and such. Option two is you can go into this other program. Let's say that your revenues are between $500,000, $400,000, and $600,000. You could go into the upgrade level, in which we can assign to you a CEO that is gonna do all these things for your business, gonna work on your marketing plan and your sales plan and your hiring plan and your all of these things. And we can assign you a COO, and the COO is gonna make sure that we build the infrastructure for your business so your business can be prepared to break the seven-figure dollar mark. And we can do this and we can do that. So you present them the options. The large, the medium, and the small. Or if you're only giving them two options, it's like the gold package and the basic package, right? And you truly present to them, you know, what you think that is better for them. If you believe that they are gonna be good with the basic package, do not sell them the premium, sell them the basic. But if you truly believe that the premium is what they need, then give them the premium. Do not worry, very few sales conversations go exactly like this, okay? So you're gonna, you know, use some sort of this formula, and that's fine until you learn how to do all of this. So step 15, we're almost done, is the close. If you did things right, if you probed, if you dig deeper in the beginning, if you build enough trust, then they will choose the right option for them and say, listen, I want option two. I'm really scared. It sounds like a lot of money, but I know I need help. I'm determined to build this business. I've tried to do it on my own. I failed miserably, or I made this mistake, that mistake. I'm just done with this shit. I just truly want to do this and take this to the next level. And you know what? I want to become one of your next success stories. Like, I want to be where that person or the other person is. I want to have that kind of business. I want to have that kind of life. Okay, perfect. So you sell them into that and you do that. Step 16 is you handle objections. And usually the objections are going to come in terms of time, money, or relationships. It's like, I really would like to do this, but my husband, oh my God, he will never accept. So you help them figure out the husband objection. Or I would love to do that, but I really don't have any time. So you help them figure out the time objection. Usually the time objection is a priority objection. We all have the same amount of time, same amount of everything. And you just stay there and handle objections with them. And lastly, you give them the price. Prices. It's like, okay, you told me that you want level two or the basic level. So this level is, let's say, $2,000, or let's say that it's $6,000 and you need to give me $2,500 down payment. And then we do three payments of this amount of money, and we take Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. Which one do you want to pay with? Which one do you want to pay with? And you assume the sale. Now, it's very important for you to know that this is not a sales script. I'm not going to tell you about sales workshops right now. It's too late. I'll tell you about that next week. This is not a script. This is a framework. To the extent that you follow the general framework, you are going to be in a better place. To the extent that you divert the framework, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to close the sales, but I don't expect anything to go exactly as I just described to you. I just wanted to give you the general disclaimer, okay? The general framework. Just super quickly, remember that people don't buy legal services. We talked about this. They don't buy contracts. They don't buy legal documents. They don't buy the filing the deeds and doing discovery for that and filing the lawsuit for the other. They buy solutions. They buy peace of mind. They buy being able to file for divorce, protect their children and their assets, and get on with the next stage of their lives. They buy the ability to work in this country and have access to the freedom and opportunities that this country provides. They buy the peace of mind of declaring bankruptcy and having all their creditors stop and getting them off their back and being able to have a one night peaceful sleep so they can figure out how to get out of the mess that they've created for themselves and rebuild their businesses. And that's what you need to sell. You need to sell solutions. You don't want to sell legal services. So these are some other comments of some of the people that work with for us. You know, I wish I have found this business or this program the moment that I started my own law firm. I wish I could turn the clock back. And now I have a plan on how to grow my own law firm. I told you about this one, has already surpassed their goals. Kishore, you know, he's on track to do about $45,000 in a month when their goal for this year was $32,000. So forget about last year. This year's goal is $32,000. It's already had to revise their goals for this year because their law firm is growing so, so much. So Kristen already grossed in 2020 more than she ever grossed in 2019. So listen, she grew more than six times. She grew more her law firm more than 600%, more than her average monthly revenue in a couple of weeks, a couple of months. So anyhow, please schedule your implementation call. Let us help you create a plan for the next steps that you need to implement out of all of this. And raise your hand if you have any questions about the sales process, any questions about anything that we've already covered, and let's have a conversation. Let me see, there it is. We have, who I have not spoken to. Jesse, are you still here? I know that I saw your name. No, I think he left. Okay. Joe, perfect. Please unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've got probably quite a few questions, but I guess the first one is going through these steps as far as kind of the framework goes. Obviously, you can modify it to however you want, but
Not really. Hold on a second. Do not start with step 15 in step two.
Right.
You can modify however you want, more or less, but do not change the order because it's designed to help the person think through their situation in a way that builds up the awareness of, I'm going to be very blunt, okay, so I apologize for what I'm going to say. Make them awfully aware that they're sitting in a pile of shit. and a pile of problems, and building their desire or lack of their off of changing their situation. If they don't want to change it, that's fine. That's not your client. Bless them and they can go. But if they truly, truly want to change them, those are the kinds of people that you want to work with.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I guess my leading, the main question was, you know, going into these sales calls, obviously I get a ton of like tire kickers and stuff like that. What are the best ways to essentially qualify those leads before they even make the appointment? Because if I scheduled everybody that called in that would like to schedule an appointment for free legal advice that have no intention of signing up, what are the best options as far as pre-qualifying those people?
Right. And you do PI, right?
Family law and PI. Family laws are the tire kickers. I'll talk to anybody about PI because I'll close most of those anyway. But family laws is what I'm talking about because they are kind of more the time wasters and tire kickers.
Right. And I think we talked what day is today? I don't even know. I think we talked on Monday or Friday. I can't remember.
Right.
But if you are not concerned about PI and you're more concerned about family law, I would tell you that the fastest way to screen out the tire kickers is to really upgrade your marketing. You are not polarizing the marketplace enough. You are communicating with your marketing message and whatever you put out there. Number one, that you would work with anyone and everyone, and that your law firm is not exclusive enough. So your prices most likely are too low, and your branding is not enough to disqualify the tire kickers. So I would be very surprised that a person, and nothing wrong with a person that buys in Walmart, okay? Walmart is perfectly great for some things that you need, but some other things, you might not want to go to Walmart, you might want to go to Nordstrom's. Usually the person that buys in Walmart doesn't go to Nordstrom's because the prices are too high. And the person that is looking like for a high-end, let's say a silk scarf, is not going to go find it in Walmart. And that's what you need to do with your marketing. We would try to assess what is bringing in the tire kickers and how is it you're having that conversation and what kind of clients you're attracting so we can change your marketing message so you attract higher caliber people, caliber in the sense of their gross revenues, not in people as people, right? People that are more committed to actually saying, yes, I'm gonna sign in the line which is dotted. I really wanna change my life, let's do this. That's one. The other thing is that I have a suspicion that number one, you don't love family law. So let's be honest, okay?
Right.
So you might not be having those conversations as intently and as deeper as you could. So people are not necessarily ready to sign up with you because you're not going deep enough on the first 3-4 steps of the sales conversation. So it might be a combination of those two things. And if we fix those two things, I think that your conversion rates can really go up.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody particularly likes family law.
There's a lot of people who do.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think family law is kind of one of the areas that's easier to systematize and kind of have workflows that
right.
are really teachable.
Now, let me tell you something. We have this client member. Her name is Sarah Kaki. Maybe you can find it on our website. I'm sure that you're going to have a testimony. If you go to testimonies on our website, you'll see it. Sarah started working with us. Her law firm was grossing, like, I think $80,000 a year, something like that. And then she built her social security disability practice to around $700,000. And then one day she found herself on a weekend. True story, huh? One of the things that we provide when you become a member of How to Manage a Small Law Firm is that we give you emergency access to our senior staff of management advisors. So we hold a virtual beep, so you can call anytime, any hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and you, if you call that number and you say, I'm a member and I have an emergency, they will call Arjun, myself, our general manager, and a couple of other directors, and we will walk you through your problem. So we were, it was a Sunday around 7 p.m., and Sarah called our office and said, I have an emergency. We got on the phone with her and we said, what's the emergency? And basically she didn't have any money to make payroll on Wednesday. And Social Security disability, as you might know, you know, the government pays you whenever they want to pay you. So it's not good. So we built a new family law business, kind of what you were doing, right? She said, tell me what is the easiest, the fastest. I don't care what it is. I need to do that. We said, okay, we need to start a family law area of practice. It's going to be easier than the first one that you did because you are going to leverage all the things that you know already, and your marketing and your this and your that and your paralegal and your receptionist and your office. So it's going to be way easier. Your copier, it's going to be the same thing. But she had never done a family law case. So we basically started the marketing. She hired an associate that could do the work, and she focused only on marketing and sales. To this day, she has never done a legal family law case because she doesn't want to and she hates it. And she built a $1 million firm within 12 months.
Right.
So you are in the right place, but if you're gonna do the sale, while you might not like the work, you need to care enough about the client to give a damn and help them make the decision to say yes to what they came to see you for. Mm-hmm. With time, we're going to help you delegate the sales. So we're big on this concept of a non-attorney salesperson. We're going to train another person that can have the sales conversations with our your clients, because we want the sales conversation to be a sales conversation. It is not supposed to be a legal strategy session. Supposed to be a sales conversation. But that happens usually when you're around 500,000 to 600,000 a year. For now, you need to do the sales because you need to get really good at sales so you can manage that drag on that non-attorney salesperson. So while you don't care about the work, you need to care about your people and your clients. Make sense?
Yeah.
So really take the time to dig deeper into the first parts of these conversations, which are digging deeper as to what brought them here, what are their problems, what are the life and the future that they truly want, and taking the time to educate them about the gap in between where they are and where they want to be. That in between is called a value continuum. To the extent that this space is bigger, you can charge way more money, and you give them, you make them aware of what this distance is, so they are more eager to take action. At the end of the day, people will say yes on a sales conversation if you can find what is called RTBNs, which are reasons to buy right now. And that is only going to be pain and consequences. Now, you're not going to manipulate them. You are not going to lie to them. You're going to help them tell you if they are truly, truly committing to making a change. And if, you know what? If they are not, those are not your clients. Let them go, because they are going to be a freaking nightmare. If you have to drag them in, you'll have to drag them around, and you don't want to do that.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Okay. Anyone else? I'll take one more question. If you guys have another question. Okay, Stanley.
Yes, I post mine. When you were talking to Joe, I was listening, and I said, well, I charge a consultation fee, which is less than my hourly rate. My assistant does the initial intake, and potential clients will ask, how much am I going to charge for whatever service? And we don't give those prices over the phone. And what he tells them is that I have a consultation fee of this amount, and that if they retain my services, we will credit that consultation fee once they come in. Well, mm-hmm. some people object to that and when they're told the consultation fee, so they don't even come make the appointment. So I'm trying to figure out, how do we get past that? Because normally if they make the appointment and they come in, normally they will, you know, and they pay the consultation fee, they will normally retain my services.
Okay, so what is the problem that you want to solve? What percentage of the people that call your firm are actually scheduling the appointment?
I would say it's majority of them. I guess maybe 80%. Now, one thing that I noticed, and I tried something, and I think I've decided not to do that. Pretty much over this past, well, all the times I've been in private practice, I've always charged a consultation fee. And mm-hmm. I would give the credit. Well, just from the first of this year up through when the pandemic started, people were calling, and when we were told about the consultation fee, they would back off. So during the pandemic, probably a couple of months after the pandemic started, because during the first couple of months, nobody was calling. So mm-hmm. people started calling back. What I decided to do was offer them a 15-minute free consultation just to kind of get a little information from them, and then tell them, you know, if they wanted more than that, then, you know, they could schedule an appointment and you know, we talk by telephone or by Zoom, because I'm not letting people come in right now. And mm-hmm. that worked on some people it did not work for. So I went back saying, well, I might as well just keep the consultation fee.
Let me just stop there. Stanley, question. If indeed, and I'm going to push back a little bit here for you, okay? I'm going to push back a little bit here for you, which is, I don't think that your consultation percentage is 80%. It's way too high. So the first thing that I'm going to say is that I'm going to invite you to track better the number of leads to consultation. I guarantee you it's less than 80%.
Okay.
To the extent that it is 80%, do not even worry. Keep on charging it, because it's not an objection to not schedule a consultation. However, if what you want is to have more consultations, what I suggest that you do is that you do a test. You're going to take your leads, the number of people interested that call your service, call your office, and you're going to divide them in two. For a couple of weeks, no more. You're not going to do this for 6 months. You know, a couple of weeks, maximum a month. And you're going to say, to half of them, we're going to offer them a consultation without paying. And the other half, we're going to offer them the consultation, the paid consultation. And you literally tell your receptionist or your paralegal or whoever answers your phone to do A and B. One called when they call, they go here, and the other call here, and then here, and it's random, okay? And then you measure lead to consultation to show up, the same as I showed you guys last week, mm-hmm. and show up to conversion in the ACE. And then on the B's, lead to consultation to show up to conversion. Okay. If there is no difference in conversion, which I would be very surprised if there was no difference, but if there is no difference, keep on charging or stop charging. I don't care, because it makes no difference. If when you charge, you might get less people to schedule a consultation, but a better client and more conversion. So let's say that when you charge, you get 50% of them who schedule a consultation, you lose 50%. But out of this 50%, 75% convert. Okay, that's really good. If you don't charge, you get, let's say, 80% to schedule, which is a better conversion than when you charge. Mm-hmm. However, when you actually talk to them, only 20% convert. you know what? I'd rather talk to less people and convert more than create a bunch of busy work for my law firm that I'm going to have more resources because I need to talk to all these people to convert less people. So what I'm trying to say is there is not a one answer to your question because we need to figure out what works for you. And the way to figure it out is by doing this exercise.
Okay.
Is it clear what you're going to do?
Yes. Yes. I took notes. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just make a note to do a test with paid and no paid consultations and figure out conversions. And based on that, we decide if we want to keep on converting, on charging for the consultation or not.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Alrighty. You're welcome. You're welcome. Schedule your implementation calls. Stanley? Don't forget.
Yeah, I did. The implementation, I did that.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay. I'm going to lower his hand. Anyone else? It's 6:45, so I really would like to wrap up this call, but I see quite a few of you on the phone. So do you guys have any questions? Anybody has any questions? Last call for questions? No? You good? Indy? Nobody? Alexis, I spoke to her. Sandy? Okay. I guess you're good. So, guys, schedule your implementation call. Go talk to our team. Let's create a plan to implement everything that we have discussed. And post on the forum for any questions you might have. Your homework is to go and have sales conversations with this new framework. And let us know how it goes and how we can help you. And I will see you next week at our fourth call of this business plan implementation bootcamp. Thank you so much for your attention and staying with me. I know it's been a long class, and may you have a fantastic rest of your week. I will see you next time, and I will see you at the forum. Goodbye, everyone. Bye. Bye, Alexis. Thank you.